This is Will Baumgartner with IRIS. Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. The Daily Nonpareil. Chamber honors LCB graduates. The Council Bluffs Area Chamber of Commerce celebrated Leadership Council Bluffs Class 33 during the Chamber's annual mid-year luncheon at the Mid-America Center. Leadership CB members have participated in 10 full-day sessions and completed a community trustee project while navigating through the COVID-19 pandemic, Chamber President and CEO Drew Camp told the crowd at Thursday's event. "We appreciate the flexibility and dedication of this class as we navigated through these uncharted waters together." According to the Chamber, Leadership CB is designed to identify and develop potential leaders. This program connects individuals from diverse backgrounds to strengthen their leadership skills with the goal of bettering the community. Evening Glow. Pilots participate in an evening glow at the Fields of Flight Hot Air Balloon Festival on Saturday, September 11th, 2021, at Dipmar's Orchard and Vineyard in Council Bluffs. See more photos on page A6. The photo is taken in the evening with many hot air balloons and many participants about to be put into the sky. Experts, Shots Working, by Lauren Neergard and Matthew Perrone. "The average person doesn't need a COVID-19 booster yet," an international group of scientists, including two top U.S. regulators, wrote Monday in a scientific journal. The experts reviewed studies of the vaccine's performance and concluded the shots are working well despite the extra contagious Delta variant, especially against severe disease. Even in populations with fairly high vaccination rates, the unvaccinated are still the major drivers of transmission. At this stage of the pandemic, they concluded. The opinion piece, published in The Lancet, illustrates the intense scientific debate about who needs booster doses and when, a decision the U.S. and other countries are grappling with. After revelations of political meddling in the Trump administration's coronavirus response, President Joe Biden promised to follow the science. But the review raises the question of whether his administration is moving faster than the experts. The authors include two leading vaccine reviewers at the Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Phil Krause and Dr. Marion Gruber, who recently announced they will step down this fall. Among the 16 other authors are leading the vaccine research in the United States, Britain, France, South Africa, and India, plus scientists with the World Health Organization, which already urged a moratorium on boosters until poor countries are better vaccinated. In the U.S., the White House has begun planning for boosters this month if both the FDA and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention agree. Advisors to the FDA will weigh evidence about an extra Pfizer shot Friday at a key public meeting. Colorado Governor Jared Polis on Monday urged the FDA to quickly authorize booster shots for the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine, as well as permit children ages 5 to 11 to be vaccinated. Polis said that foot dragging by U.S. health officials has cost lives. "The FDA needs to get out of their ivory tower and realize there's a real-life pandemic," he said. Georgetown University's Larry Gostin said the paper throws gasoline on the fire in the debate about whether most Americans truly need boosters and whether the White House got ahead of scientists. "It's always a fundamental error of process to make a scientific announcement before the public health agencies have acted, and that's exactly what happened here," said Gostin, a lawyer and public health specialist. The U.S. already offers an extra dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines to people with severely weakened immune systems. For the general population, the debate is boiling down to whether boosters should be given, even though the vaccines are still offering high protection against severe disease, possibly in hopes of blocking milder breakthrough infections among the fully vaccinated. Last week, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said new data showed that as Delta surged, the unvaccinated were 4.5 times more likely than the fully vaccinated to get infected, over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized, and 11 times more likely to die. Still, government scientists are also weighing hints that protection is waning among older adults who were vaccinated early last winter. The writers of Monday's commentary reported, reviewing worldwide studies since Delta began surging, mostly of U.S. and European vaccines. The team concluded, none of these studies has provided credible evidence of substantially declining protection against severe disease. Welcome back to School Hangs on a Fence Monday at Brooklyn's PS245 Elementary School as children arrive for the first day of class in New York. Pictured are three people, two children, and one mother, all wearing masks as they walk by the school. Judge temporary order allows Iowa schools to mandate mask. Des Moines. David Pitt, Associated Press. Des Moines. A federal judge on Monday ordered the state of Iowa to immediately halt enforcement of a law passed in May that prevents school boards from ordering masks to be worn to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Judge Robert Pratt said in an order signed Monday that the law substantially increases the risk of several children with health conditions of contracting COVID-19. Pratt said he has looked at data on the effectiveness of masks to reduce the spread of the virus and agrees with recommendations from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention and the American Academy of Pediatrics on mask wearing in schools. Because plaintiffs have shown that Iowa Code Section 280.31's ban on mask mandates in schools substantially increases their risk of contracting the virus that causes COVID-19, and that due to their various medical conditions, they are at an increased risk of severe illness or death, plaintiffs have demonstrated that an irreparable harm exists, he wrote. His order said Governor Kim Reynolds and Iowa Department of Education Director Ann Lebo cannot enforce the new law banning local school districts from using their discretion to mandate masks for students, staff, teachers, and visitors. He issued a temporary restraining order to be in effect immediately. It remains in effect until the court issues an order for a preliminary injunction. Several parents and the Arc of Iowa, a group that defends the civil rights of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, sued the state. Pictured here is Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds in front of a microphone addressing an audience. Heartland Christian Sr. has already completed basic training. Tim Johnson. It's not unusual for a young person to enlist in a branch of the armed forces before graduating from high school, but Max King went one step further. A senior at Heartland Christian High School, he completed basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, over the summer. Max showed a lot of determination to pursue the military at such a young age, and he takes pride in his military training, Principal Carolyn Parton said. The entire school staff and administration are very proud of Max. Since Max was already 17, he signed up for the Iowa Army National Guard on April 15, 2021. I started talking to a recruiter about November, he said. From there, I just followed the process. I wanted to do the military, and National Guard was the easiest because I could do basic and do advanced individual training later, instead of all at once, Max said. I enjoyed basic. I just made a lot of good friends, and it's just a different experience. After completing his senior year at Heartland Christian, he will return to Fort Benning for advanced individual training. In AIT, a recruit learns the skills they need to perform a specific Army job, such as artillery or engineering, according to Military One Source. Max wants to train to become a paratrooper. Max, the son of Robert and Susan King, is a lifelong resident of Council Bluffs. He has two adult brothers who graduated from Heartland Christian and now work in Omaha. He attended Council Bluffs Community Schools for most of elementary school and has been at Heartland Christian since fifth grade. At Heartland Christian, he has participated in track, cross country, and basketball and served on the student council for several years. Max is very active at school, Parthens said. He goes out for sports throughout the school year. This year, Max was voted to be student council president. Max has footsteps to follow in his military service. Both of his grandfathers served in the military, one on active duty in the Army and one in the National Guard. One served in Korea. I just wanted to serve my country, he said. As a member of the Iowa National Guard, Max will be assigned somewhere in Iowa after his training. He will probably be deployed to provide disaster relief somewhere in Iowa or the nation at some point. He could also be deployed anywhere in the world for disaster relief or a military action. Pictured is Max King, a senior at Heartland Christian High School, has already completed basic training for the Iowa National Guard. Max is pictured in front of a picture of a bald eagle, a tree, and a poem. Face of the Day, courtesy Midlands Humane Society. Pictured is a cat with very fluffy hair looking directly at the camera in black and white. Rascal the Cat is looking forward to some funny business during the Doggy Fashion Show, among other things, at Midlands Humane Society's fundraising gala this Friday. Rascal is a 5-year-old male, long hair, who is currently available for adoption at Midlands. He is a handsome guy looking to bring some love into his forever home. Shelter staff say he is good with other cats, so he could be a great addition to a furry family. His adoption fee is $85, which includes altering, a microchip, and age-appropriate vaccines. In other shelter news, Midlands is gearing up for its annual fundraising gala on Friday, which will be in person this year after having to host the event virtually last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The event will be held at its usual venue at the Mid-American Center. Corey Nelson, Director of Development and Marketing at the shelter, is encouraging people to visit MidlandsHumaneSociety.org/events to register for the event. Those who cannot make the event can remotely bid on auction items, donate money to Midlands, and vote for the dog's fashion show by texting MHS Gala to 243-725 for registration. Nelson said the staff is looking forward to a night of fun and raising money for the shelter. We are excited for the opportunity to see treasured friends at the gala and share news and stories about our activities and efforts with our supporters, she said. More information about fostering and donation opportunities can be found at MidlandsHumaneSociety.org or by calling 712-396-2270. Like their Facebook page to keep up with daily shelter news. The shelter can also be found at Midlands Humane on Twitter and Midlands Humane Society on Instagram. Joe Shearer, Iowa's mobile museum slated to visit Missouri Valley. Tim Johnson. History has changed, or at least the exhibition in the State Historical Society of Iowa's mobile museum has. The museum, History on the Move, will be open for self-guided tours from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. September 18th and 19th at Missouri Valley City Park, 800 West Huron Street in Missouri Valley. Housed in a custom-built Winnebago, the museum has already completed a 3-year, 99-county tour of the state with a different collection, according to a press release from the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs. It made 175 stops from 2017 and attracted nearly 65,000 visitors, including 11,400 students. Our first statewide tour was an enormous success, and Iowans let us know they wanted this traveling museum to keep rolling with another exhibition, said Susan Clower, administration of the State Historical Society of Iowa. We're eager to share more stories with Iowans across the state. The mobile museum will visit all 99 Iowa counties through 2023, similar to its first three-year tour, but with a different exhibition. The new exhibition, Iowa History 101, Iowa's People and Places, features 56 artifacts from the State Historical Museum of Iowa and videos that explore 13,000 years of history. The introduction video is narrated by WOI TV host Jackie Schmillen. Among the highlights are the following: an election ticket from 1860, knitting needles used by First Lady Jane Kirkwood of Iowa City to knit clothing for soldiers during the Civil War and World War I, birch bark lunchbox a Cerro Gordo County boy used in the 1870s, University of Iowa pennant from Edward Carter of Monroe County, the first African American to get a medical degree at the University of Iowa in 1907, paper fan promoting women's suffrage from about 1916, women's track uniform from Iowa State University from 1972, the year Title IX was passed, and a flight suit worn by astronaut Peggy Whitson, who hailed from Beaconsfield and attended Iowa Wesleyan University in Mount Pleasant. The traveling exhibition presenting sponsor is EMC Insurance Companies, with additional partnership support from Casey's General Stores, Winnebago Industries, Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, and Mike Wolf. Iowans can follow the Mobile Museum's statewide journey on Facebook at facebook.com/Iowa History. Graduates from A1. This year's graduates were Teresa Edwards, U.S. Bank; John Flatten, Telpner Peterson Law Firm; Katie Forney, Share Omaha; Josh Carlson, PowerTech; Gina Klein, All Care Health Center; Mia Lostrup, Council Bluffs Schools Foundation; Kenneth Muller, HGM Associates; Susan Opperman, Olson Associates; Sue Pitts, Iowa Western SBDC; Nikki Roth, Shy Health Mercy Council Bluffs; Doug Reed, Pottawatomi County Emergency Management; Melina Rousseau, Iowa Western Foundation; Matt Saar, TS Bank; Abby Showers, Heartland Family Service; and Cara Treed, Career Advantage. The program, which kicks off its 34th year this month, has had more than 680 graduates. Now, as a graduate of this program, you need to utilize the knowledge that you have gained to make a difference, Camp told the group. It takes work, but we know that your class aspires to be part of the positive changes in our community. The luncheon also included an overview of chamber activities in the previous months and a keynote address from Brenda Clark Hamilton, a leadership coach and speaker from Algona. Attendees gather for the Council Bluffs Area Chamber of Commerce annual mid-year luncheon Thursday, September 9th, courtesy Council Bluffs Area Chamber of Commerce. The photograph, in black and white, features many people at many tables in a big room, featuring many mass people, including one speaker at a podium. Vaccine. Because the body builds layers of immunity, gradual drops in antibody levels don't necessarily mean overall effectiveness is dropping, and reductions in vaccine efficacy against mild disease do not necessarily predict reductions in the typically higher efficacy against severe disease, they wrote. The more the virus spreads, the more opportunity it has to evolve into strains that could escape current vaccines. The Lancet reviewers suggest there could be bigger gains from creating booster doses that better match circulating variants, much like flu vaccine is regularly updated, than from just giving extra doses of the original vaccine. There's an opportunity now to study variant-based boosters before there is widespread need for them, the scientists wrote. In other developments, federal judge Robert Pratt on Monday ordered the state of Iowa to immediately halt enforcement of a law that prevents school boards from ordering masks to be worn to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Pratt said the law passed in May substantially increases the risk of children with health conditions of contracting COVID-19. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis threatened local governments Monday with $5,000 fines per violation for requiring their employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus that has overrun hospitals across the state. DeSantis said local municipalities potentially face millions of dollars in fines for implementing a requirement that their employees get a COVID-19 vaccine. Police investigating death of woman in Des Moines home. Des Moines AP. Police are investigating after a woman was killed at a Des Moines home. Someone called police around 8:30 p.m. Sunday to report a disturbance at the home and expressed concerns about a woman at the residence, police said in a news release. Arriving officers found the body of Amber Burton, 42, of Des Moines, and said she had been killed. Police did not say how Burton died. Detectives interviewed witnesses and gathered evidence, but police did not immediately report any arrests in the case. Burton's death marked Des Moines' seventh homicide this year. Capital Digest. Gazette Des Moines Bureau. A roundup of legislative and capital news items of interest for Monday. Crop Report. Unseasonably warm and dry conditions have allowed Iowa farmers to ramp up field work and, in some parts of the state, get an early start on harvest, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig said Monday. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reported corn. I'm sorry, I'm going to restart this. How do you say that? Naig? It just sounds weird. Okay. Cut this out. Capital Digest. Gazette Des Moines Bureau. A roundup of legislative and capital news items of interest from Monday. Crop Report. Unseasonably warm and dry conditions have allowed Iowa farmers to ramp up field work and, in some parts of the state, get an early start in harvest, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig said Monday. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reported corn in or beyond the dense stage reached 87%, 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Almost one-third of the corn crop has reached maturity, 2 days ahead of normal. Iowa's corn condition rated 59% good to excellent. Soybeans coloring or beyond reached 67%, 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated 62% good to excellent, with isolated reports of soybeans being harvested. After a stretch of wetter than normal weeks, unseasonably dry conditions returned to Iowa over the reporting period, with only a handful of stations observing measurable rainfall. Generally, higher temperatures were felt across much of the state. Weekly precipitation totals ranged from no accumulation at a majority of stations to 0.22 inch near Lester and Rock Rapids in Lyon County. The statewide weekly average precipitation was 0.01 inch, while the normal is 0.83 inch. The statewide average temperature was 68.5 degrees, 1.2 degrees above normal. Perry on Saturday observed this week's high temperature of 93 degrees, 15 degrees above normal. Battle Creek and Spencer Municipal Airport reported the week's low temperature of 44 degrees on Thursday. On average, that is 8 degrees below normal. Lansing dredging. Lansing Village Creek Boat Channel dredging will begin Wednesday and is expected to continue through October 15th. The boat ramp will remain open, but space will be limited. The navigation channel from the boat ramp to the main channel, Mississippi River, will be dredged hydraulically. Hydraulic dredge materials will be pumped into geofabric bags that will remain in place for drying on the northwest corner of the parking area. Once material is sufficiently dried, it will be hauled away at a later date. The channel beyond the railroad and highway bridges will be excavated and removed by barge. Boaters still will have access to the middle and north ramps. Expect delays while equipment is in the area. The northwest corner of the parking lot will be closed to parking. Boaters are urged to use caution and follow signage to avoid active work zones. Work will occur Monday through Saturdays. Boaters can avoid construction delays by using alternate ramps in Wisconsin at Big Slough and Winnipeg slow across the Black Hawk Bridge. Hapeman's Landing on Pole 9 still is extremely shallow and is also paneled for dredging at a later date. Local, Iowa. Three pictures above. On Saturday morning, firefighters from across the region, including Council Bluffs Fire Captain Rob Schoing and his son Jack Schoing, a firefighter with the McClellan Volunteer Fire Department, participated in the National Fallen Firefighters 9/11 Memorial Stair Climbs at Werner Park in Papillion. The first picture features two firefighters sitting down in full gear, tired, on the sidewalk. The second picture shows Rob Schoing and his son Jack in full equipment, smiling, looking at the camera with their helmets off. The third picture is Rob Schoing and his son Jack walking down in a baseball stadium, walking down a flight of stairs next to open seats. Area firefighters honor 9/11 fallen with stair climb. Adam Branting. On Saturday morning, firefighters from across the region, including Council Bluffs Fire Captain Rob Schoing and his son Jack Schoing, a firefighter with the McClellan Volunteer Fire Department, participated in the National Fallen Firefighters 9/11 Memorial Stair Climbs at Werner Park Papillion in Nebraska. The stair climbs is a way to honor and remember the 343 FDNY firefighters who gave their lives September 11, 2001. Each participant pays tribute to an FDNY firefighter by climbing the equivalent of the 110 stories of the World Trade Center. The firefighters wear gear, their full bunker gear, which can weigh up to 75 pounds, and climb the ballpark stairs for over an hour. The Stair Climbs Fund programs provided by the NFFF to support the families of local fallen firefighters and the FDNY Counseling Services Unit. Connections AAA to offer stress-reducing class for family caregivers. Tim Johnson. Connections Area Agency on Aging will offer the Stress Busting Program for Family Caregivers at two different times this fall. Those interested can choose between 1:30 and 3 o'clock p.m. Tuesdays from September 21st through November 16th, or 6:30 through 8 p.m. Tuesdays from September 21st through November 16th, according to a press release from Connections. The class meets nine times over that period, with each session being 90 minutes. The Stress Busting Program is designed to improve the quality of life of family caregivers and help caregivers manage their stress and cope better with their lives. The program teaches caregivers the following: the impact of stress on your health and how it relates to caregiving, how to deal with stress through relaxation techniques and problem solving, how to care for yourself while providing better care for your loved one. Caregivers who have completed this program feel significantly lower stress, depression, and anxiety and are able to enjoy a better quality of life, the press release states. They have also experienced improvement in their ability to relax, manage stress, and feel better about themselves. For more information, contact Jan Schenank, Family Caregiver Community Engagement Specialist, at 1-800-432-9209, extension 8116, or jschnack at connectionsaaa.org. Connections AAA's Family Caregiver Program supports people who care for their parents, spouses, or others age 60 or older by providing information, resources, and support. Polk County to buy Sleepy Hollow Sports Park in Iowa. Des Moines. The owners of a popular central Iowa park known for winter sledding and tubing have announced that Polk County plans to buy the park. Polk County will buy Sleepy Hollow Sports Park in Des Moines and take over winter operations at the park in 2023, the Des Moines Register reported Monday. Current owners Rick and Mary Flatt plan to run the park's camping operations and special events such as concerts, Halloween attractions that year. Polk County will take overall operations Polk County will take over all operations in 2024. The 76-acre facility opened in 1994 on Des Moines' east side and is a favorite venue for families, birthday parties, business outings, and church retreats. Lifestyles. Use this guide to trace your lineage back centuries. Mena Arshad. Jessica Trotter went from working on a Heritage Girl Scouts badge in elementary school to tracing back her lineage three centuries. Now, Trotter, 44, of Lansing, Michigan, is helping others do the same by exploring genealogy, the study of family and family history. Trotter authors a blog, genieroadtrip.org, packed with advice. She is often tapped by places such as the Michigan History Center and Lansing to lead talks. I just really like finding out about the lives that lead to mine, Trotter said. Trotter and other genealogy experts shared their tips for unearthing your roots from the use of archives to DNA tests and by tapping storytellers in the family. Start with what we know. Blogger Judy Russell, famously known as the legal genealogist, recommended to start with what we know. Russell said to document our own lives, then our parents, then our grandparents, and so on. We move from the known to the unknown and document every single fact so we're sure we're getting it right. Looking to the elders in the family, even those not in your direct lineage, can prove useful. Get as much of that info down and then start trying to find records to support or sometimes refute the family stories, Trotter said. Online databases. Cindy's List is a free genealogy research site categorized by region, occupation, religion, and more. Ancestry.com is a paid database with billions of online records. A free trial is available. Family Search is another free source. Along side record databases, the website has a user-friendly format where researchers can enter what they know about their families, and the website pulls everything it finds. The website also has kid-friendly activities relating to the study of family history. Seminars and groups. Libraries and genealogical groups host how-to seminars on tracing lineage throughout the year. These, Trotter said, can be a good place to learn how to use some resources. There are also genealogy interest Facebook groups, which provide a community of support and journeys of research. Trotter also runs a personal genealogy blog, www.genieroadtrip.com, where she keeps track of her findings through the decades. Trotter has even stumbled upon a lost family connection in the comments section of her posts. Historically persecuted. Some people have a harder time researching their family tree because not all records were created equally. My mother's family is very easy to trace because they're very white, so I've actually traced her family quite a ways, which you can do, Trotter said. Dad's family, I have traced them pre-1870, which people always think is a brick wall for African-American research. Paper trails for African-Americans dwindled before abolition in 1865, as enslaved people had few records. They were given English names, forcibly taken from homelands, and were banned from marriage. This entire population isn't even recorded on the U.S. Census until 1850, and then only as tick marks on the slave schedules under the names of the enslavers. The task of their descendants is much harder than it is for other populations who were free, create records in their own names and more, Russell said. While it was harder, Trotter said it was still possible. For her father's line, Trotter said that she had to consider the mindset of that time. Since enslaved people were treated as property, Trotter said she looked in records involving goods exchanges. However, Trotter said to still look in records you normally would. She also encouraged researchers to look into records for people the ancestors associated with in case they were mentioned in wills, probate records, or in land patents. You don't just research only the people in your direct line. You always want to research the community, the people that they associated with, Trotter said. Pictured here is a tree. Brown roots, green leaves, saying, create a family tree. Dostal to serve on Iowa Arts Council. Dostal to serve on Iowa Arts Council. Emily Sheeb. Donna Dostal, president and CEO of the Pottawatomie County Community Foundation, was recently appointed to serve on the Iowa Arts Council by Governor Kim Reynolds, and she is ready to represent Southwest Iowa communities. Being appointed to the Iowa Arts Council is truly an honor for me, Dostal said in an email to the Nonpareil. Our Southwest Iowa region has such a wonderful array of inviting and entertaining options for people who live, work, and play in around the area. So to have the opportunity to showcase and promote and represent our area in the statewide forum is so exciting to me. The council was established in 1967 to help Iowa arts expand and flourish. Dostal's board term will last 3 years, and she will be able to hear how other communities in Iowa are building their own arts programs and more. As I learn more about the community and my role, I look forward to being involved with the decisions made at the state level to build and preserve the fiber and foundation of our rich cultural amenities and activities, she said. In addition, I look forward to bringing new ideas and opportunities to our region that will enhance the great programming we enjoy. Dostal said she would like to hear input and questions from individuals in the area regarding the arts, cultural preservation, music and theater, and entertainment opportunities in the area. By having a deep understanding of the needs and opportunities for expanding and enhancing our region through artistic expression, entertainment, and involvement, my involvement will be even more useful, she said. Dear Abby, stress impacts family. Jean Phillips. Dear Abby, I am currently without a job. I hesitated to inform my mother because I was sure her reaction would only add to my stress. I was right. She constantly corners me about my efforts to find a job. I talk to her nearly every day to keep up with how she and my stepfather are doing. Because she never fails to dig into me about my job search progress, I now find ways to shorten our conversations. I can get a job or two to sustain my living expenses for the time being. However, I'm trying to hold out for a job or career that connects to my sole passion. Working for decades in a job that sustains me and my children is no match for the longing of my profession. I'm still not sure what it is. How do I curb my mother's pushing me for a resolution without coming off as annoyed, which I am? I'm sure she wants to express her concern, but I want support in my efforts without feeling condemned. Help me, please, Annoyed in Alabama. Dear Annoyed, I will try. Because you still aren't sure what your sole passion is, it's time to find out. A place to start might be a career counseling center. Some universities have them. Contact one or more and inquire whether they offer career counseling and aptitude testing. The test results will tell you what you are best suited for. Of course, this service is not offered for free, which is why you might want to buckle down and take a job or two in the meantime to afford it, as well as to feed your little family. As to your mother, who may be worried because you don't yet have a plan of action, explain to her about seeking career counseling and she may calm down. Google, helping 163,000 Iowa businesses connect with customers. Every day, tens of thousands of Iowa small businesses like Colony Pumpkin Patch are being found online. With the free business profile on Google, small businesses can connect with customers through phone calls, directions, bookings, and more. Find your free resources for your small business at grow.google/smallbusiness. Emily Sheeb. The Council Bluffs, Omaha area may see some rain this morning with a 20% chance before noon. This afternoon will be mostly cloudy with a high of 77 degrees, according to the National Weather Service in Valley, Nebraska. Tonight, temperatures drop into the 50s with partly cloudy skies. Sunny skies return Wednesday with a high of 78 degrees. The upcoming forecast, according to the National Weather Service. Today, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. mostly cloudy with a high of 77 degrees. North wind 6 to 8 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 55. North wind around 6 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 78. Calm wind becoming southeast around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, clear with a low around 63 degrees. Thursday, sunny with a high near 70 with a high near 87 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 67 degrees. Friday, sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 68 degrees. Saturday, sunny with a high near 88 degrees. Saturday night, clear with a low around 70 degrees. Sunday, sunny with a high near 89 degrees. Streaming this week by Ray Smith. What's new on Netflix? Dear White People, Season 4. It's time to bulk up your playlist and head back to school with Season 4 premiere of Dear White People, airing its musical final season on Netflix beginning Wednesday, September 22nd. Based on the 2014 film of the same name, Dear White People follows a group of black students at a predominantly white Ivy League college. This satirical comedy series follows Sam, Logan Browning, to Perfection, 2018, Troy, Brandon P. Bell, Hollywood Heights, Lionel, Daron Horton, American Horror Story, and their friends as they navigate the political landscape of their college, combating racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination. Season 4 continues the saga, dealing with contemporary issues such as virtue signaling and meritocracy, and potentially digging deeper into the mysterious Order of X. Fans have been waiting for Season 4 since the release of the third season in 2019, and now the long wait is finally over as everyone's favorite outspoken college students return for one final season, complete with song and dance numbers and all. From creator, writer, and director Justin Simien, Dear White People, 2014, the series also stars Antoinette Robertson, the Haves and the Have-Nots, John Patrick Amadori, Hindsight, Ashley Blaine Featherston, Bad Hair, 2020, Mark Richardson, True Blood, Giancarlo Esposito, Breaking Bad, Nia Javier, Stepsisters, 2018, Jamar Michael, The Chadwick Journals, Wyatt Nash, Riverdale, and Nicholas Anthony Reed, Rosewood. What's new on Disney Plus? Star Wars Visions. Get ready for Star Wars like you've never seen it before when Star Wars Visions comes to Disney Plus on Wednesday, September 22nd. Disney brings together several talented Japanese anime studios for this stunning collection of original short films. Each of the 9 short films features the unique visuals and storytelling style for which Japanese anime is known, in combination with the beloved stories and characters from the Star Wars universe. Available in both Japanese and English dub versions and produced by Lucasfilm Animation, this anthology series works in collaboration with studios Kamikaze Douga, Geno Studio, Studio Colorado, Trigger, Kinema Citrus, Production IG, and Science Suro. Allison Bray, Community, Henry Golding, Crazy Rich Asians, 2018, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Inception, 2010, David Harbour, Black Widow, Neil Patrick Harris, How I Met Your Mother, Lucy Lowe, Elementary, Simu Liu's Kim Convenience, Bobby Moynihan, Saturday Night Live, George Takei, the original Star Trek, the original series, and Kimiko Glenn, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, 2018, voice star in the English version of the show. What's new on Prime? Goliath Season 4. The wait is finally over as the fourth and final season of Goliath premieres Friday, September 24th on Prime. This dark legal drama stars Billy Bob Thornton, Fargo, as Billy McBride, a disgraced lawyer turned ambulance chaser. While murder attempts and corruption abound, Billy continues to take on more than his fair share of Goliaths in this final 8-episode season, including the pharmaceutical and opioid industries, where loyalties will be tested as they fight to get a win for the little guys among some of the biggest obstacles imaginable. From the creating and writing team of David E. Kelley and Jonathan Shapiro, both of The Practice, the series is directed by Lawrence Trilling, Parenthood. Goliath also stars Nina Arianda, Midnight in Paris, 2011, Anna De La Ruga, Narcos, Amy Brenneman, Judging Amy, Tania Raymond, Lost, Diane Hopper, Bit, 2019, Julia Brewster, Review, Bruce Dern, The Hateful Eight, 2015, Brandon Scott, Dead to Me, and Jenna Malone, The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, 2013. Obituaries. Sandra K. Real. Sandra K. Real, age 81, Council Bluffs, passed away Sunday, September 12th, at her residence with her family by her side. Sandra was born July 24th, 1940, in Fort Dodge, Iowa, to the late Harry and Dolores Pingle Clement. She was united in marriage to Kenneth Real on May 26th, 1959. Sandra is a member of the First Christian Church and is preceded in death by her parents, husband Kenneth in 1989, sister Junie Donald Schubert in 2016. Sandra is survived by daughters Tamara Paulson, Jacqueline Cliff Collins, 5 grandchildren, Jennifer Joseph Bruno, Kevin Jessica Jensen, Corbett Rebecca Michelle and Sarah Paulson, 8 great-grandchildren, sisters Linda Gauchiner of Missouri Valley, Iowa, Diane Denny Lukovsky of Clive, Iowa. Visitation, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. Funeral services, Thursday, 1 p.m. All at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bayless Park Chapel. Sandra will be laid to rest with her husband Kenneth at Cedar Lawn Cemetery. Cutler O'Neill, 545 Willow Avenue, Council Bluffs, Iowa. Jeff J.T. Thomas Cox. Jeff J.T. Thomas Cox, age 91, passed away September 10, 2021, in Silver City, Iowa. J.T. was born December 7, 1929, in Ofton, Oklahoma. The youngest of 9 children born to Walter and Rosie Willis Cox. J.T. moved to Manawa and lived there until the age of 16 when the family moved to Council Bluffs. He proudly served his country in the U.S. Army, serving in Germany for 2 years. On March 17, 1951, J.T. married Joanne Davis, and they were blessed with children Randall, Timothy, and Deborah. J.T. started working at Nielsen Nursery as a tree trimmer for 12 years before moving to Archer Daniels Mill, and later Pillsbury Grain Elevators, where he worked as a millwright. J.T. was a longtime member of the Bethany Presbyterian Church. Survivors include his wife of 70 years, Joanne Cox, of Silver City, sons Randall and his wife Sharla of Council Bluffs, Timothy and wife Deborah of Minnesota, daughter Deborah Fuller and husband Steve of Silver City, 8 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren. J.T. is preceded in death by his parents Walter and Rosie, 3 brothers, and 5 sisters. Visitation with family, Saturday 2 to 4 p.m. at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bayless Park Chapel. Memorial service Sunday 10:30 a.m. at Bethany Presbyterian Church with a luncheon to follow. Interment Monday 10 a.m. at Walnut Hill Cemetery. Family and friends to meet at the Walnut Hill Cemetery office for procession to grave. Military rites by the Canesville Riders Honor Guard. Memorials are suggested to the Bethany Presbyterian Church. Rodney D. Barrier. Rodney D. Barrier, age 57, of Council Bluffs, passed away September 3, 2021, at Jenny Edmondson Hospital. Rodney was born February 1, 1964, in Council Bluffs to the late James and Joanne Greeter Barrier. He graduated from Iowa School for the Deaf in 1983 and was their homecoming king. Rodney was a welder at Omaha Standard for many years. In addition to his parents, Rodney was preceded in death by his niece, Katie Jeffers, and his nephew, Zachary Bronson. Rodney is survived by his daughter, Amanda Barrier of Council Bluffs, grandchildren Zayden Affery and Amora, companion of 18 years, Karen Smith, siblings Steve Penny Barrier of Neola, Teresa Barrier, James Barrier, both of Council Bluffs, Pamela Sean Shea of Crescent, Joseph Barrier and Mark Barrier, both of Council Bluffs, many nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Visitation with the family, Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m. at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring, Bayless Park Chapel. Funeral service, Friday, 1 p.m. at the funeral home. A lunch will follow at the Walnut Hill Reception Center, 1350 East Pierce Street. The family will direct memorial contributions. Billy L. Williams. Billy L. Williams, age 83, of Council Bluffs, passed away September 12, 2021, at his home, surrounded by his loving family. Bill was born February 17, 1938, in Council Bluffs, to the late Vernon and Alice Viola Jarvis Williams. He graduated from Thomas Jefferson High School in 1957 and proudly served his country in the Iowa National Guard. Bill married Charlene Robinson on June 16, 1959 in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. They were blessed with three sons, Randy, Christopher, and Kirk. Bill was an automotive mechanist owning B&J Machine from 1980 to 2019 and Williams Brothers Racing. He also worked at Genuine Auto Parts, Napa, for 18 years. Bill is survived by his wife of 62 years, Charlene Williams of Council Bluffs, sons Randy J. Williams of Missouri Valley, Iowa, Christopher L. Debbie Williams of Council Bluffs, Kirk L. Debbie Williams of Glenwood, Iowa, seven grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. Visitation with the family, Wednesday, 5 to 7 p.m. at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring, Bayless Park Chapel. Funeral service, Thursday, 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Entombment in the Ridgewood Mausoleum with full military rites. A lunch will follow at the Walnut Hill Reception Center, 1350 East Pierce Street. Memorials are suggested to St. Croix Hospice. Former Omaha Mayor Mike Boyle dies at 77 years old. Staff reports. Former Omaha Mayor Mike Boyle, who was serving on the Douglas County Board, died Monday from complications of pneumonia. He was 77 years old. His daughter Maureen Boyle, a physician who also serves on the county board, told a World Herald reporter in March that her father had recently been diagnosed with non-small cell lung cancer. He started treatment at the Nebraska Medical Center. "He doesn't feel sick at all," she said at the time. "He's just been plugging away like he's always been." Boyle underwent successful surgery for lung cancer in August, a county spokeswoman said. Funeral services will be announced later, the spokeswoman said. Jane Fleming Kleeb, the chair of the Nebraska Democratic Party, said in a tweet Monday that the state Democrat Party passes on our love to the Boyle family. "Commissioner Boyle was a giant in politics, bringing compassion and justice to every position he held. He will be greatly missed by all." Boyle, an attorney, served as mayor of Omaha from 1981 to 1987, the city's 43rd mayor. In November, he was elected to his sixth term on the Douglas County Board. The Democrat first was appointed to the board in 1997 and represented District 1, which includes much of South Omaha and part of downtown Omaha. In March, Maureen Boyle said her father is a guy with nine lives. He had a heart attack when he was 40, 37 years ago. Boyle was elected mayor in 1981 and re-elected in 1985, but he was recalled from office in 1987, primarily over a dispute with his police chief. He ran again for mayor in 1989 and governor in 1990. Although there is no single incident that explains why voters ousted Boyle from the mayor's office, the event that triggered the recall and was at the center of the objections to his style was the firing of Police Chief Robert Wadman in 1986. Wadman was fired for refusing to discipline those under him, including former Douglas County Sheriff Tim Dunning, then a police lieutenant, for their involvement in the stakeout of Boyle's brother-in-law, John Howell. Dunning's 30-day suspension was eventually reduced to 5 days. Former state senator Heath Mello, who ran an unsuccessful campaign for the Omaha mayor's job in 2017, said on Twitter that Boyle was a leader who believed in justice, respect, and equality for all. As a young South Omaha legislator, Mello wrote, "He reinforced to me the importance of service above self and to always put people first." Boyle's wife, Ann Boyle, died in February 2019 at age 76. She had served nearly 20 years on the Nebraska Public Service Commission. She also served as the state chair of the Democratic Party. The Boyles had 5 children, Maureen, Michael, Pat, Jim, and Maggie. Funeral set for Chicago area muralist who died at 52. And that is all from Iris News today for September 14th, 2021. I am Will Baumgartner, and thank you for listening.